And the book of Leviticus is where the Lord shares his plan and what he expects of his people. And he set in motion a pattern for our lives. So the feasts provide a common thread in which God gave Israel a picture of the past, the present, and the future. I want you to remember that part. He told us what was going to happen, and we've been through Passover, and the present, we're now in Pentecost, and in the future, the tabernacle, the Feast of Tabernacles. So the first four festivals, Passover, Unleavened Bread, First Fruits, and Pentecost, outline events that have already been fulfilled by Christ Jesus during and immediately after his time here on earth. Some Bible scholars believe that the church today is living in the period of time between Pentecost and Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets. And I believe that because this is the church age. And didn't he send the Holy Spirit to give us the ability and the power to share his word? So Jesus was crucified as the perfect Lamb of God who took away our sins. And then Jesus was in the grave on the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and he was raised on the Feast of First Fruits. And then Jesus told the disciples to wait for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, which happened on Pentecost. So we here are the body. We're part of the body of Jesus Christ, and he is the head of the church. So he sent his Holy Spirit to fill us with his power as we continue to call and do the Great Commission to bring in the lost. So we're going to look at the book of Leviticus, where he gives us a command, and we're first going in chapter 23, verses 1 and 2, and then we're going to look at verses 23 through 24 in the same chapter. So Leviticus 23, 1 through 2 tells us that these were the festivals of God. They're his appointed feasts. Again, and I know I've said this before, they are not Jewish feasts. They are his feasts. He is hosting them. So he expects us to show up if he's prepared the banquet for us. So the Lord said unto Moses, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, these are my appointed feasts, the appointed feasts of the Lord, which you are to proclaim as sacred assemblies." And Leviticus 23, verses 23 and 24 says, "The Lord said to Moses, on the first day of the seventh month, you are to have a day of rest, a sacred assembly, commemorating with trumpet blasts." Hence, you were blasted this morning. Let's pray. Father, I give myself to you. I ask you to forgive me for not surrendering everything to you. I know that without you, I can do nothing. Bring me back to my first love, Jesus, my Lord. Holy Spirit, ignite a fire within me. I want to be a worker in your kingdom. Awaken me from the spiritual slumber. Help me to bring in the harvest of souls. Amen. So each of the spring festivals have been fulfilled exactly as the Lord planned. When we look at the festivals, especially the three that happened in the fall, we are looking at God's plan for the future. They are not just historical events, but they're prophetic depictions about what is to come. So Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of the Jewish New Year, and it announces a season of repentance with the blast of the trumpet. So Rosh is Hebrew for chief or head, and Shana is Hebrew for year. So it is the new year on the Jewish civil calendar and is the month of Tishri. They also have a religious calendar, which has another first, and that's Nisan, and that's the feast of Passover when Jesus was here and gave his life. So the month of Tishri falls on our calendar in September and October, or October, just depends on the year. They follow the lunar cycle and follow through with the moon. We follow the sundial. So in other words, that's why our calendars are different. So this year, it begins on October 2nd. So that's why we have the trumpet blast this morning, is because at sundown on October 2nd begins the Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah. So Jewish tradition believes that Adam was created on this day. So Rosh Hashanah is also considered to be the birthday of the world. Why? Because Genesis begins with, in the beginning, Aleph B'Tishrei, which means on the first of Tishri. So it makes common sense that they would put that together. So Rosh Hashanah is also referred to as the day of the awakening blast. God always warns his people before judgment comes. God loves us so much. He wants us to live with him. He does not want any of us to perish. The message is, repent, wake up. So with Ephesians 5:14, this scripture informs us that the word awake is associated with resurrection. So Ephesians 5:14, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you. We need to be awake and looking for the soon coming of the King of Glory, Jesus, our groom. He is coming back soon. Are you ready? Are you looking for him? God is blowing the trumpet and announcing his return. And he is coming for a pure and spotless bride. So this festival tells us to awake from our spiritual slumber. For the last 2,000 years, God has blessed the church because of the gospel of Jesus Christ that has been spread throughout the world. God chose the Jews as the nation of people who would be used as the instrument to write down and preserve scripture, to bring the Messiah into the world. Jesus is Jewish, so I think it means we should support Israel. And to proclaim the gospel to the world. Although many believed in him, the religious leaders did not. God turned to the Gentiles, which is us. Anyone who's not Jewish is a Gentile, to spread his word among the nations. This will continue throughout time until the prophetic fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles, which includes the Feast of Trumpets, Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. You know, the Jews were called to go to Jerusalem 3 times a year. So Passover, you know, there's 3 festivals that are all very close together. Then you've got, which is in the spring, we'll say April. And then you've got Pentecost. And so they come back for Pentecost, and that would be, you know, your May. But then they don't return until the fall. And the last 3 festivals, they celebrate and stay until they're done. So now that Israel has been restored as a nation, and they are once again have control of Jerusalem, we can be assured that God is even now dealing with the Jewish people as a nation to prepare them for the coming of Messiah Jesus. This is what's happening right now, right before your eyes. If you want to know what's happening, look in the Word. It's happening just as the Lord said it would. As we see Israel in the spotlight of the world news, we can know that the return of Messiah Jesus is near. The last 3 festivals are celebrated in the fall. It's harvest time. And when we look out, we see the fields being harvested before our eyes. In relationship to the new moon, the Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah, is unique. It is the only one of the festivals that occurs on the first day of the month when the moon is dark and only a thin crescent. The precise timing of the new moon was not always easily determined due to clouds or a lack of witnesses. Because of this, they observed this festival for 2 days. That is why Jesus said, we cannot know the day nor the hour. It is called the hidden day. That's why we also know the Feast of Trumpets is likely to be the one where the trumpet sounds and we go get to be with Jesus. So the Feast of Trumpets is set aside as a day of rest, and it is celebrated intermittently with trumpet blasts, followed by 10 days of repentance, also called the 10 days of awe. The sounds heard during the Feast of Trumpets are an important ingredient in both the Old and the New Testament. It is a public acknowledgement as Jehovah is King of Kings. It is the beginning of a time of reflection and repentance. So each morning the trumpet is blown to warn the people to turn back to God. This time of repentance starts 30 days before the Feast of Trumpets, and the following days continue through Rosh Hashanah and ends on Yom Kippur, Atonement, which I think would make it like October 11th this year. So the warning to repent and return to God is given with the sound of the trumpet, the ram's horn. That's what Don blew this morning. It is a literal ram's horn. We bought it in Jerusalem some years ago. Don was practicing so he could try to blow it for today. So the warning to repent and return to God is given with the sound of the trumpet, the ram's horn. Wake up. The time is drawing near. Do you know what time it is? God never leaves his children comfortless. He always shares his plan. Listen to the prophets. Listen to the watchmen. Listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit in your inner being. Isaiah 44, 6. And we're going to do a couple of scriptures in Isaiah. Isaiah 44, 6 through 8 tells us who announces the things to come. Beginning at verse 6. This is what the Lord says, Israel's King and Redeemer, the Lord Almighty. I am the first and the last. Apart from me, there is no God. Who then is like me? Let them or him proclaim it. Let him declare and lay out before me what has happened since I established my ancient people and what is yet to come. Yes, let him foretell what will come. Do not tremble. Do not be afraid. Did I not proclaim this and foretell it long ago? You are my witnesses. Is there any God besides me? No, there is no other rock. I know not one. So the Lord is the only God. He alone knows the end from the beginning. So we're going to look at Isaiah chapter 42, verse 9. This verse informs us that the Lord reveals to those who see what God is doing ahead of time. So Isaiah 42, verse 9. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. So God always warns the people of impending judgment. He is a loving Father who does not want anyone to perish. He loves each of us with an everlasting love. Because he is holy, he cannot look upon unholiness. Heed his warnings. Turn back to him. He alone has the answer for eternal life. He is the answer, the beginning and the end. The shofar is the oldest wind instrument in the world. The type of instrument blown was a ram's horn, which is the Hebrew word shofar. So the shofar was blown in remembrance of the ram that was sacrificed in the place of Isaac. Jewish tradition teaches that God blew one of the ram's horns at Mount Sinai at the very first Pentecost. And he will blow the other ram's horn at the coming of Messiah Jesus. I don't know if you can picture God the Father blowing a horn, but I can't imagine. We're going to read a little bit of scripture here in a minute in Exodus chapter 19. But I don't know. It just, to me, thinking of, I can't imagine how scared they were. And if you stop and try to imagine it yourself, I think you get a picture of how they must have felt. You know, God used trumpets as a means of communicating with his covenant people. So to the Hebrews, the sound of the trumpet represented both the voice of God and the might of God in warfare. What does Ephesians chapter 6 tell us? It tells us to put on the full armor of God so that you can withstand the enemy. So the main purpose of the Feast of Trumpets was to announce the arrival of the seventh month in order to prepare the people for the Day of Atonement, which was 10 days later. The seventh month was a time when God would complete his dealings with his people. You know, it's just like tiptoeing at the end of days. So scripture often speaks of men or angels blowing trumpets, yet there's only twice it is recorded that God blows the trumpet. The first time was at Mount Sinai, and we're going to look at Exodus 19, 16 through 20. And this is when the Lord revealed himself from heaven and prepared to bring the nation under the old covenant, we call it today. So Exodus 19, 16 through 20. The Shekinah glory of the Lord descended with a fiery tempest and a sound of the shofar. Verse 16. On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning with a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke, because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace. The whole mountain trembled violently. And the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. Now think of it. There must have been close to 3 million people at that time that were standing at the foot of that mountain. And every one of them heard this loud trumpet sound. Then Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. The Lord descended to the top of Mount Sinai and called Moses to the top of the mountain. So Moses went up. I don't know if you could think of this. This is a type and a shadow of a picture of when Jesus takes us to go live with him in the rapture. It talks about the Lord coming down and Moses going up to meet him. There's pictures all through the scriptures. There's no reason that we should be surprised. So the last occasion on which the Lord will blow the shofar will be when the Messiah returns. The Lord will once again descend from heaven with a whirlwind and the clouds of glory fire and the sound of the trumpet. Let's look at the book of Zechariah, and we're going to be in chapter 9, verse 14. This is towards the end of your Old Testament. And it is a fabulous prophetic book. It has so much prophecy in there. I think I've got the whole book marked up. So anyway, Zechariah 9:14. And then we're going to look at right away at Matthew 24:27, because I want you to understand the comparison between the two of these. One is a prophet who is sharing what's going to happen, which is Zechariah, and then we have Jesus, who is the prophet, saying almost the exact same words. So Zechariah 9:14 says, "Then the Lord will appear over them. His arrow will flash like lightning." Okay, now Matthew 24:27. Jesus said, and this whole chapter of Matthew 24, it's all in red. Jesus is telling his disciples what's going to happen. But we need to remember he is talking to the Jewish people. And he loves them. And he is telling them what is coming upon the world in those days. So he said in verse 27, For as lightning comes from the east, is visible even in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. So Zechariah said that his arrow was like a flash of lightning, and Jesus is returning as lightning when he comes back again. So as God spoke to the people and used trumpets to fight their battles for him, the Jews began to call God the horn of salvation. And by this, they meant that God was their deliverer, who would fight their battles for them and save them from their enemies. So as the day of the Lord begins, God's last trump will be sounded. The Messiah Jesus will reveal himself in great wrath, and he will prepare the nation of Israel to be brought into the new covenant with Jesus. They will recognize Jesus. They say in Israel, the Messiah will not come back until they say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." So, in ancient Jewish tradition, the resurrection of the dead would occur on Rosh Hashanah. That is why many Jewish gravestones were engraved with a shofar. I thought that was very interesting. And you know, on the east side of Jerusalem, there is this giant cemetery. And they want to be right there because it's where the Lord will come into. And they want to be the first resurrected. So they got prime property right there. So the last trump brings in the day of Jacob's trouble, and the tribulation will begin. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 52. Paul reveals here that God's last trump and the resurrection of the righteous, they're interwoven into the rapture of the church. So Isaiah 50 verses 50, or 1 Corinthians 15, 50 to 52. I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, that means die, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. Let's compare this with 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 through 17. And we're going to be back in Thessalonians again. So if you're looking them up, keep your finger in there. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 16 through 17, Paul describes the coming of the Lord. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together. That's harpozo. It means rapture. People have a fit when you say rapture. It's not in the word. Yes, it is. It's caught up. Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord. Where? In the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. His feet at this point do not touch earth. This is the coming of Jesus for those who have given themselves to him, who have confessed their sin, who are prepared to go with him to the bridal table and enjoy the banquet meal. So he isn't putting his foot down here yet. So the second coming, he will actually touch down and his feet will literally split the earth. And he will take over and the enemy will have lost. So the day is coming in which the Lord will again descend in the fiery clouds of his Shekinah glory. So Matthew 24:30. And it says, at that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. So God's last trumpet will be blown, and then the day of the Lord will begin. So like Israel's ancient trumpet, God's last trump will accomplish several purposes. And we're going to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, and then we're going to look at chapter 5, verse 9. So if anybody's scared, this is good news here for you. It tells us that the righteous will be delivered from the wrath to come. So it says, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he has raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. He rescues us. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus said when he was here, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. You know, the ark, Noah's ark, is a picture of being caught up. They were taken out of what was going to happen on the earth. They had to endure the flood, but they were safe in the ark, and we're safe in Jesus. So, we'll be going to Revelations chapter 6 next, and this gives us point number 2. The last trump will sound God's battle alarm against Satan and his wicked world. Sometimes we wonder how long this wickedness is going to last, and we pray, and we see how things are just steadily becoming more and more dark. But God has his army, and he's ready to come. So he sounds his battle alarm in Revelation 6:15-17. Then the kings of the earth, the princes, the generals, the rich, the mighty, and every slave and every free man hid in caves and among the rocks of the mountains. They called to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand? This will draw man's rebellion to a close. We win. So number 3, the last trump will announce the sovereignty of God and the Lamb of God. His Son Jesus, who is crowned as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Jesus will be exalted on that day. So the fact of God's sovereignty testifies that our God does remember his covenants and his promises to Israel. And the shofar brings to memory God's provision of a ram that Abraham sacrificed in place of his only son, Isaac. Can you imagine Abraham going with Isaac? And Isaac wasn't a little boy. He was a grown man. He carried the wood for the sacrifice up Mount Moriah. A child could not do that. And as they're walking, and he's thinking, oh God, I'm going to do this, but I know you're going to supply. You are our provision. You will provide. And they're going, and all at once, Isaac says, well, where's the lamb we're going to sacrifice? And all at once, he realized he was going to be that sacrifice. But he, too, stood on the promises of God, that God, Jehovah Jireh, is their provider. I don't know if this is exactly how it happened or not, but just think of them going up one side of the mountain, and Isaac is contemplating his death, and Abraham's thinking about his one and only son, that his inheritance is supposed to come through. They're going up. They have no provision. But up the other side comes the ram who takes the place of the son, Isaac. What a beautiful story to know that even when we can't see what's going on, he provides for us. And the ram was caught in the thicket, just his horns. That's kind of strange. Wouldn't you think that his wool would have got caught? But this is a picture of the crown of thorns that Jesus would one day wear. So repentance is required of all men. It is a life and death principle in Scripture. Repentance literally means to return. This is to return to God. The day is coming in which the Messiah King will come. Jesus, he will return to Jerusalem and will reign over all of the earth. He will reign forever, as the prophets have foretold. Rabbi Eliezer, one of Israel's ancient rabbis, declared, repent one day before your death. His astonished disciples said, does anyone know on which day you're going to die? The rabbi replied, then all the more reason to repent today. This reminds us that repentance is urgent. Today is the day of repentance. We do not know the number of our days, nor the day of his wrath. We must seek him while the gates of repentance are still open. Scripture tells us that we must seek the Lord while he may be found, and to call on him while he is near. God always warns the people of impending judgment. He is a loving father who does not want anyone to perish. He loves each of us with an everlasting love. Because he is holy, he cannot look on unholiness. Heed his warnings, turn back to him. He alone has the answer for eternal life. He is the answer, the beginning and the end. Maimonides stated an important fact. It isn't enough that God is my king alone. If all humanity doesn't recognize God as king, then there's something lacking in my own relationship with God. Part of my love for the Almighty is to help guide all people to an appreciation of Him. Of course, this is largely an expression of my deep caring for others, but it also affects my own sense of God's all-encompassing kingship. End of quote. I would like to close with a great illustration. How do we enter the palace? How do we merit the privilege of the king's presence? God is perfect, and all that God is like is the deeds that we perform, which makes us more like him. There is a wonderful anecdote of a woman who, in preparation for the upcoming holidays, took her 4 children to the store to outfit them. She left the store with her family, all newly and completely attired, and stopped short at the sight of a young boy in tattered and ragged clothing, wistfully looking into the shop windows. The stark contrast between the lad's impoverished state and her privileged children was more than she could bear. She told her kids to wait outside as she took the young lad inside and outfitted him from head to toe, just as she had done for her own children. As she was about to leave, the young boy looked up at her and asked, "Are you God?" "No," the woman replied, taken aback. "I am not God. I'm just one of his children." To which the boy, with tears in his eyes, replied, "I knew you were related." God wants us to be honest with ourselves as well as with him. We are called to use the gifts within us. He does not expect us to do anything that we are not. He wants us to wake up and return to the place of repentance. Have you truly repented? Have you turned away from your sin and turned toward God and passed from death to life? To those who do, he faithfully promises to cast all of our sin into the depths of the sea, and he will not remember them anymore. Believers await the sound of the trumpet as a climax of world events for those who have had the doorposts of their hearts covered with the blood of the sacrificial lamb. It is God's will and purpose to write our names in the Lamb's Book of Life for eternity. Not only must we listen for the sound of the trumpet, we must take time daily to reevaluate our relationship with the Lord before the trumpet sounds. Ask him through the Holy Spirit to reveal any sin in your life, and ask him for help to live the life God has called you to live, us to live, in him. His grace is sufficient for every situation and circumstance of our lives. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I give myself to you. Awaken me from spiritual slumber. I want to spend time every day with you. Guide my life and use me as a vessel filled with your love and mercy. Awaken the gifts you have placed within me. Grant me wisdom and revelation as I walk out the destiny that you have prepared for me. Amen. So when October 2nd comes, you know it's the sound of the trumpet day. So you can remember how we scared you with the blowing of the trumpet this morning. May God bless you, and thank you for your patience and your attention.